Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Nun Gimel, and we're holding Nun Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara is going to tell us a fascinating story of Rav Papa with his Shver Abba Sura'a. If you want, you can come to the stable. Two seats. Only one Gemara, but two seats. Both of them are unoccupied today. Never. Here in this Bismedish, never machlokes. We have differences of opinion, but never machlokes. We have differences of opinion, but never machlokes. Machlokes when it gets heated, when it gets viral, when it gets violent, when it gets vehement. Where everybody here, Baruch Hashem, Ahavas Yisrael is our mantra. Anyway, three lines at the bottom of the Amud. We're talking about a fascinating story with Rav Papa. It says, Rav Papa I asik le librei be Abba Surah. Rav Papa married off his son to the family, to the daughter of Abba Surah. As Rashi points out, Rav Papa was already a member of Abba Surah's family. Rav Papa was an Eidim of Abba Surah. Aha. And besides having the daughter that's married to Rav Papa, Abba Surah had another daughter. So now Rav Papa's son is now going to marry the second daughter of Abba Surah, which is Rav Papa's sister-in-law. How could that be? Doesn't that turn out then a nephew is marrying an aunt? Because it's a son of Abba Surah, which means it's a son of Abba Surah's wife, Mrs. Abba Surah, and not Mrs. Rav Papa, and he's going to go and get married to his mother's sister. That's the case over here.
It's the case. From another wife,
maybe. I'm sorry.
Son from another wife.
Oh, so the Rishash asked the Kasha, and Rishash answered like Rabbi Blum just gave, that this son was not the product of Rav Papa and the daughter of Abba Surah, but it was from another wife. So therefore, totally unrelated. As far as Rav Papa is concerned, it was talking his sister-in-law, but as far as the son is concerned, no relationship.
Just to go back to Yehovah's for a second.
Yes.
That would not be an Arab anyway, if I'm not mistaken.
If it would be a regular aunt together with a nephew, it would be prohibited in Min HaTorah. Not only Midrabban, Min HaTorah would be an Issa. Anyway, it's what we call the Achois.
It's not a regular aunt because it's the sister-in-law.
Okay,
I'm sorry, once again.
It's not a regular aunt because it's...
In our case, with your teretz?
Or because it's a stepmother? I'm asking you, you said the reason why it's not Erva is because it's...
It's not related whatsoever.
It's because it's a stepmother, not because of the...
His to himself, to the wife of Rav Papa, would be his stepmother. But the sister of the wife wouldn't be related to him whatsoever. Rav Papa is married to two women. First one is Chana, the second one is Penina. Chana had this son. This son, a lovely young man. Okay. Penina is the daughter of Abba Surah. That Penina has a sister.
Right.
And that sister is another daughter of Abba Surah. So now this son of Chana is totally unrelated to Penina, except to the stepmother. Stepmother body is Osir, but he's certainly not Osir to the sister of the stepmother. There's nothing to do with him. Anyway, so getting back to Agmar. So Rav Papa Yasakli Lebrei be Abba Surah, he married off his son to the daughter of Abba Surah. Oza Lemichla Laksuvasa. Now they are coming together in the home to write down the Ksuba. And now they're going to negotiate the terms of the Ksuba. It's not like today that the Ksuba is basically pre-printed and you just fill in the terms, but rather they would have a negotiation. Okay, so he's going over, Rav Papa is going over to his Shver's house, waiting for Abba Surah to go and write a Ksuba and to insert therein a nice nadin for his daughter, who's getting married to the daughter of Rav Papa, to the son of Rav Papa. Okay, Shom Yehuda Bamareima. Yehuda Bamareima heard about this. Novak Osa Ischazile. He came out to greet and to say hello to Rav Papa. And Rav Papa said, "No, kupma mitzazaman, let's walk together." And now Rav Papa is accompanied by Yehuda Bamareima, are walking now to Abba Surah's house. Kimot lepitzcha, when they got to the door, have a kamif to minay. So Yehuda Bamareima said, "Okay, I was happy to escort you now, but now that you've reached your destination, zay gizin, sayonara, kol tov, I'm leaving." Have a kamif to minay. So Rashi says, kamif to minay means he was noitel rishus mir Rapapa. He says, Rapapa, I'd like to leave now. Would you mind if I bid you farewell? Omalaisi said to him, Neil Mar Badoi, no, don't go away. Come with me together into the home of Abba Surah. So Rapapa detected that Yehuma Rema did not want to go in with him. So he said, I know probably why you don't want to. My daitach mishum di amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, because Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shirina, you sharp one, or the one with the long teeth, like the heavy bavuri achsanta afilm brabisha lebro tova. What Shmuel tells Rav Yehuda is that any time that there is a discussion or a fight or an attempt to go and move inheritance from one person that is entitled to it to someone who is not entitled to it, don't be present. Loit heaven means don't be present. Ba'avuri, when they are being ma'avir, when they are transferring, achsanta is an inheritance. Afilm ibrabish l'brabat tova. Even in a case where they're taking away the inheritance that would otherwise go to Johnny or Willie, and instead of giving l'brabat tova, they're giving it to Harava Goyin Remesha. In other words, they're two sons. One of the sons is Nebuch, not such a great tzaddik. The other one is a chagris, a tamar chacham. And therefore, they are now attempting to transfer the inheritance from the bad guy to the good guy. No, don't be involved. Why? Even though in the present generation, you can tell the difference between Willie and Ramesha. However, you don't know what's going to happen the next generation or the next generation. This fellow, he'll be Niskar of Al-Dei Chabad, and he'll have children who are Grace Tzadikim Erech Chayidin, and this Grace Tamar Chocham Nebuch is children Chas HaShalom Kim Fablonjin. And Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, and certainly don't be present when they are transferring ownership, inheritance, mibro lebrata, from a son to a daughter. That you're certainly not allowed to do in the Torah. However, says now Rav Papa to Yehuda Bamarema, Bahainami, in our case, what we're talking about is Takanta Drabanhi. Now, what does it mean, Takanta Drabanhi? Because what we're hoping to do is have Abasura write out a generous dowry for his daughter, and we already learned the Gemara yesterday that that's a Groysa Inyan. Where did we learn that yesterday? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishimer Bishim Ben Yechoi. And the Gemara doesn't even tell us what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rishim Bayichoi, because the Gemara relies on our excellent memories, especially since Barry just arrived. So if you remember right after the Mishnah yesterday, if you just turn back to the Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, right after the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Ben Yechoi, name Mahiskino Ksuvas Banan Dichon, why did the Chachamim go and be Masaka in the Indian of Ksuvas Banan Dichon? That people should go and write generous nadins for their daughters. So that's all we're doing now. We're going over to the home of Abba Surah, and we're hoping that he will write a generous nadin for his daughter. So what's the problem? Kupnet mir. So Yehuda Mamreima said to Rapapa, Hani Mili Midate. That's if he wants to do it on his own volition, voluntarily. La Suye Nami, but go and force him, to pressure him, to go and give now a generous nod. I don't want to be part of any pressuring. It's Omalei. So Rapapa said, Otami Kamina Lacho de Oil Bashia. Did I say you should pressure anybody? Sit there and don't do anything. Don't open your mouth, don't open your nose, don't open your toes. Just sit there and finish. I didn't say you should force anybody. Amalei, Yehuda Mamreima, said, Ma'aloi didi hainu asya. You should know, my presence, that will already be a certain amount of subtle pressure. Just my being there. Nevertheless, Achvia, Rapapa convinced him and persuaded Yehuda bar Mareima to go with him to Abba Seirah. Oil, Itaka went in, and Ishtik, and he sat there silently. He didn't open his mouth the entire time. Ishtik v'yasa, he just sat there. Isavar, so now Abba Seirah assumed that the reason why Yehuda bar Mareima didn't open his mouth, Hahu Mirsach Rosach, he thought that he was upset at him, and he was angry. Why was he angry? He thought that Yehuda bar Mareima didn't say a word because he thought that Abba Seirah was being stingy and was not being sufficiently generous to his daughter for this shidduch. And therefore, he was embarrassed about Abba Seirah, and Abba Seirah, as a result, kasmi l'chol ma'ida havalei. He gave his daughter everything, his entire estate, so that Yehuda bar Mareima should smile and should be happy. happy. But nevertheless, the Seif Amalei hashta nami loy mishtoi mar. We've gone through this whole negotiation process and writing down everything in the ksuba, and you're still not talking to me. You're still ishtik. Chai demar, I swear in the name of Mar. Loy shviki midol nafshoi, I haven't left anything, not even a nickel for my estate. I've given everything away to my daughter. So by this time, you should smile and say, shekoyach abasara, you've been so generous with your daughter. Amalei, so now that he's being challenged, Yudim HaRema now answers, Iminoi didi, if you had asked advice from me, Afilahainami de Kosvis, Loi Nichali, even the amount that you've given, I would never have agreed to. I think you've given far too much for this ksuba. I would not have advised you to give so much. Now that Abbas Roy hears that, Amalei, Hashanami Hadabi, so maybe I can change my mind and withdraw and give less. Amalei, so Yehudim Amreima told him, Shavyanafsha Hadrana Loikamina, to now cause you to become a Hadrana. Hadrana means a person that goes back on his word. Once you
An Indian giver.
Okay, Lazanazai. Loikamina, to go and to do that, Loikamina, that I never would advise anyone. So once you've already committed to it, you're kind of stuck with it. If you'd asked me advice before, it's another Masa. But to ask me advice now, that's already too late. I'm not going to tell you you should be an Indian giver. Good. With this, we concluded the fascinating story of Rav Papa mit Abisra mit Yehuda bar Merema. And now we go on to further shailas relating to these halachas of Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, as well as Ksuvas Banan Nukvan. What's the next shaila? Boi minei Rav Yema Saba mei Rav Nachman. Mechor ksuvasa lebala. Yesh la Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, oi ein la Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. You have a woman that is so desperate, apparently she had no money whatsoever left. The only nechosin that she has is she has this ksuba. And what does she do? She sold the ksuba to her own husband. I'm sorry? It doesn't say why. Apparently he was being stingy with her, because if he had enough money to go and buy her ksuba, why didn't he just give her the money to go and buy something else? Why?
Also, anyway, if she sells it to him, doesn't he own what her keep?
Really the effect of selling the ksuba to him means that after this marriage terminates, either because of his passing or his giving a get, he will no longer have to go and give to her the ksuba of 200 or 100.
Right, but when he pays her to buy that ksuba,
right,
whatever he paid her, doesn't he own that? Because whatever she owns, he owns?
True, but the ksuba value, the ksuba, putting aside the nadin aspect of the ksuba, the 100 or the 200, she doesn't own that now, that's only futures. The future will be, if and when Chas HaShalom, this marriage terminates, then she will get that 200. So what he did now by buying her ksuba is, he buys her ksuba for 25, for 50, 100,
so
whatever it happens to be, at a discount, and he won't have to pay the 200. So when he passes away, the estate will be free from this obligation.
But Uri's question is, doesn't he, as it were, doesn't he actually, he gives the money to her, but doesn't he own it through her? I mean, doesn't he have
a... It's like an Indian of... that's your question. The answer is, it's just like, or his question, you're expounding and expanding on his question. I think he was happy already, but fine. But Lamasa, the Gemara says...
He only has to give himself 25. Instead of 200.
Yeah, but same. But your question is, but doesn't that 25 still belong to him?
Right.
And the answer isn't it similar to if a person were to give a matana le'eved al manas she'ein le'rabach reshusbay? So he's giving her the money, so she should be able to go and use it to go and buy a dress, to go and do some other thing with it. Anyway, beginning back to our shaila, Rav Yemer asked for a bima saba, asked of Nachman mechorek suvasa le'bala, if she sold her ksuva le'bala. Okay, so now she sold it, she got her 25, 50, whatever she got for it. Now, fast forward 10, 20 years, and Nebuch, he passes away. Well, first she passes away, and then he passes away. And now we have Kindelech. And the Kindelech want to be able to go and Yarshin the Ksuba's Bonin Dichrin. Meaning that inside this Ksuba, it's not just 100 or 200 that we spoke about, there's also Ksuba's Bonin Dichrin. Now, remember, what means Ksuba's Bonin Dichrin? Ksuba's Bonin Dichrin means the wife passes away first, the husband Yarshins from the wife, he subsequently passes away. Now, the question is, there are two groups of Yisayim from wife number one and wife number two. Min HaTorah, you would go and divide the whole estate evenly. However, the second wife brought in to her ksuba the Empire State Building. And therefore, the children of that wife say, I don't want to go and share the Empire State Building with the Yisayim from the other wife, because this is worth a lot of money. So now the ksuv is banan dichrim is a takana that in fact it belongs to them. They don't have to share with the other yisayim. But in this case, she sold her ksuba. So the question is, what did she sell? Did she sell only that entitlement to the 100 or 200 of an almana or psula, or and therefore that whole ksuba, that part of the ksuba has now been settled. Those obligations now go away, but the rest of the ksuba is banan dichrim remains. Or do I say that the entire ksuba you can tear up now and it's all gunish vet? And if that's the case, then the Yisrael will have to go and split the Empire State Building with the other Yisraelim as well. So that's the shaila. Yesh la ksuba is banan dichrim, or ein la ksuba is banan dichrim. Does that part of it go away? Amalei Rava. So Rava said to Rav Yemer Saba, you're asking a very good question, but let me ask you, when's the last time you heard about a married woman selling her ksuba to her husband? This is a very, very rare and remote situation. But Tibaylach, wouldn't it be easier just simply to go and say, Meichelas, ask a question, what happens if a wife, which hopefully is a very common occurrence, the wife says to the husband, I love you so much that I never intended to marry you for your money. I did it because I recognize that you're a choshev etamet chochem, a balmides, an erlich yid, a fine and a good and a wonderful person, and you've treated me so royally, and therefore, you know what? Forget about the ksuba that you gave me. I'm moichel it. I don't care about it. Don't think that I'm thinking about money, money, money. I'm only thinking about you because I love you, etc., etc.
It seemed like she was cash strapped. She was like putting a mortgage on her.
You're talking about that was the first case. Mechara ksuba las lebala. She was cash strapped, as you say. Therefore, she needed more cash, so she sold it.
That's the answer. Meaning the question is, why wouldn't she just be moichel? She's not moichel because she needs the cash.
No. Rav is not saying this woman in this case should be Michael. What Rav is saying is, why do you ask such a rare case, which may never happen in history, that a wife sells it? Ask a much more standard case, which is much more likely to occur. And the premise of the question is the same. In a case where a wife says to her husband, you know what, I decide I don't need the ksuba anymore, I'm Michael the ksuba, fine. If she's taka moichel and you macht alle kinyonim et mishichem et agboh et whatever, and it's all done, so if and when he passes away, she will not receive her ksuba because she was moichel. But now what happens if, let's go a door later on, she passes away, the husband passes away, who gets the Empire State Building? To her yisayim, to his yisayim, do you say as a result of the mechila, the entire ksuba is now garnished, or do you say only that aspect of the 200? That's the Gemara Shaila. Yes.
Because ksuba was made for the rabban, the tzibur, the woman should not be on the toll of the tzibur.
Mm-hmm.
So she's meichel on our account.
Mm-hmm.
She wants her husband not to have to support her.
I mean, this is meichel's business. Presumably, it's talking about that she's independently wealthy. She doesn't need the ksuba. It's omalei. So what was Rava's kasha? Rava's kasha is, you Rav Yemer Saba, why are you asking the case of Mechira? Why don't you ask the case of Mechila? It's omalei. So tell him, I'll tell you why. Hashem Mecheres kami bayali. The reason why you ask by Mecheres, the avagav the ikkala meimer, zuzi antsuha, even though, as Rabbi Yoina was saying just a moment ago, it's obvious that the reason why she's selling her ksuba must be that she is strapped for cash. She doesn't even have any jewelry left that she can go and pawn in the pawn shop. The only thing she has left is this ksuba, so that's why she's selling it. Damina, that I'm saying, you know what the zuzi antsua is, so now he's dramatizing the oinis, and he's saying it's kemanda kamachula meya uchli bi uchla. It's as if she's being forced to go and sell this last precious possession of her, as if she is now being hit 100 times with a strap, which has at the end of it an uchla. What's an uchla? Rashi says it has on it a piece of metal at the end, which is similar to a weight, which is called uchla. In other words, if you go to the fruit store, and you don't go to the modern day ones that everything is electronic scales, you go, for instance, or even the street corners, yeah. If you want to go and buy fruits or whatever from one of these vendors on the street, so they have these makeshift scales. So how do they go and weigh something? So if you would put one weight on one side, nowadays of course it says on top, 1 pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds. However, what you can do is you can go and put a weight on one side, and the weight is a weight which is a pound or half a pound, and you put the fruit on the other, and therefore you see what the weight is of the fruit. So here, the uchla is the name of a weight. So you have this weight, this uchla piece of barzel that had the weight of an uchla, which was attached to the end of a strap, that if you were to strap a person and hit the person 100 times with that, you can imagine it's quite, quite painful. So for her to go and sell a ksuba is a very, very painful situation. So says Rabbi Yemesaba, I'm asking that even in this type of case, that unfortunately she's strapped for cash and therefore she's selling her last possession, her ksuba, nevertheless, I'm asking what would be the status of her, the ksuba's banan dichrin. Maybe it's because it's an oinus, she doesn't really want to go and sell it. After all, she doesn't want to sell her ksuba either. The only reason why she's selling it is because Nebuch, she has this terrible, terrible fire sale situation. She has no choice. She's got to sell it. So therefore, I'm asking, maybe that even includes the ksuba's banan dichrin. And therefore, concludes now Rav Yemesaba, Moicheles Miboya, according to me, since I hold even the case of this terrible oinus, perhaps she is selling even the ksuba's banan dichrin. So certainly in the case of Moicheles, where she's not so strapped and she's not nansa, therefore she's doing it belev of shalom, she's doing it with the full das and the full consent, because she's not under any duress or under any financial pressures. So that's, yeah.
As far as seems fakert though, because the first case where she's pressed for cash, the husband said, you know, you want me to buy your 200?
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy it only if you're going to sell also the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's meichel, she's like, you know, I'm meichel what you owe me, but what I brought that was my own, I'm not meichel that. That's still mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying it's more likely that Meicheles would give away the ksuba's banan dichrin than the mocheres, the one that's selling.
No.
The other way around.
Yeah.
You're saying it's more likely the mocheres should sell than the mocheles. Why is it more likely? Because she's so strapped for cash, and therefore.
So he uses that to his advantage. He says, "Oh, you want me to help you out by buying you 200 zuz? I'm willing to buy it if you're going to also include in a package deal."
Apparently, they didn't speak about it expressly, because had they spoken about it, then there wouldn't be the shaila. The shaila apparently is that it's bistam, that the wife says to the husband, "You know, you have not given me a new dress in the last 25 years," and the husband says, "Well, I'm very sorry." So she says, "Well, I have no cash left. Well, I'm still sorry. I have no possessions left. I sold all of my jewelry and I pawned everything. Still sorry. But I have my ksuba. Oh, now we're talking. Fine. You sell me the ksuba, I'll give you $25. There, fine. Fine. Here's the ksuba, $25. It's all over. Now, fast forward 20, 25 years, and nobody remembers anything about ksuba's banan dichrin. There wasn't any discussion about it. They only spoke about it for instead of the 200, I get a discount, I give you 50 now, 25 now, and we're done. But they didn't talk about the ksuba's banan dichrin. So the question is, was the ksuba's banan dichrin automatically part of the package deal when he sold it or not? So therefore, with the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the shayla of Rabbi Yemesaba is, I might have thought in that case, l'chayr, that she would never have sold the ksuba's banan dichrin, because even that she sold her ksuba was under terrible financial duress. Therefore, she had no choice. But the ksuba's banan dichrin d'shnish. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yemesaba says, maybe it was included as part of the package, even though they didn't discuss it, maybe it was included. So certainly the case would be a case of Meicheles, where she's not under any duress at all. She's going and giving back her ksuva in a very friendly, unpressured manner. So then certainly I should say that she is now invalidating the entire ksuva, including this ksuva's banan dichrin. That's the way Rashi explains it.
If you're under duress, you sell the least that you
can.
Have to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sell the whole thing.
Right. But nevertheless, she's right. Saying, but he could have used that to his advantage to go and press her further. Fine, but it's got to be a full package deal.
Right.
But apparently didn't discuss it, because if they would discuss it, wouldn't be a shayla. So that was the shayla that he asked. And he said, that's why I didn't bother asking my chalas. I figured I'll ask about my chalas. Now Rava comes. Rava is one that asked him, why didn't you ask about my chalas? Because Rava, in fact, does hold a little bit to the contrary, as we'll see. Amar Rava, pshitali by me is a double poshit. Meicheres ksuvasal achayrim. If she goes and sells her ksuva outside to people out in the world, then yesh la ksuvas banan dichrin. That she did retain the ksuvas banan dichrin. She only sold the 100 or 200. Now, what is the reason? My timer zuzi on tzua. The svara that Rava just gave a moment ago, like Rav Yemesaba just gave a moment ago, the only reason why she's selling her ksuba l'achayrim is because she's under financial duress. But she's not going to sell her ksuba banan dichrin that she kept for herself. Meicheles ksuvasa lebala, ein la ksuba banan dichrin. Here Rava says, by a case of mechila, since she did it without any dura. She did it free, willingly. So therefore, apparently, she gave away everything. She moichel the whole ksuva, including the clauses about the ksuva's ban and dicha. My timer, achuli achilta. She's moichel. That's why she said, yeah, ichdafnish, I don't need it. It's fine. Baruch Hashem, I have enough. It's all yours. Now the shal of Rav is by Rav, moicheres ksuvas lebala ki moicheres lacherem dami oy ki mecheles lebala dami. As Rav, this case of selling not to acherem, and not a case of mechil lebala, but moicheres lebala. What is this like? Is it like a regular mechil to anybody else, and therefore she withheld and kept for herself ksuvas banan dichrim? Or since she's mocher lebala, maybe it's like being mochel lebala, and therefore maybe in fact she invalidated, she gave away even the ksuvas banan dichrim as well. After Rav asked the shayla, he himself was poshed. And just like when she sold it to other people, she only sells the 100, 200. She doesn't sell that additional nadin of the Empire State Building of the Ksuvas Banan Nichrin. Same thing applies when she sells it lebala. She did not sell the Ksuvas Banan Nichrin, and that takana remains even after selling her ksuvah.
What's the shot? You're not allowed to live with your wife if you don't have a ksuva. Mm-hmm. Is this any type of infringement on that?
So the Mefarshim, thank you for asking the question, because in fact the Mefarshim say that once she sells her ksuva to her husband, now they're living without a ksuva, he would have to go and give her a get. He would no longer be able to go and stay with her, he'd have to give her a get. So if, according to that svara, then she really has lost a lot, because here she went and sold her ksuva to her husband for $50 or whatever it was. Now, you don't have a ksuba now anymore. Now I give you a get, and he doesn't have to give a ksuba anymore. So now she loses. The whole reason for the discount was because who knows what's going to happen 10, 20. It was speculative. And not going to be speculative. If you hold it, you have to give a get immediately. Then she's really gotten the bad end of the stick over here.
So for agunas, husbands won't give them a get, isn't this an exit? I mean, they can take the ksuba, sell it, and say, now you have to give me a get. It surprises me no one's thought of this.
It'll be mochlin.
A person who's a bad guy who's not giving a get to his wife, they're not living together anyway, and she doesn't want him and all the rest, to go and say, sell me the ksuba, and therefore...
So sold somebody else. Okay, I don't have a ksuba. Now
and what will that help? So she'll make $25,000. What happens then?
It'll force him to give her...
Why isn't he forced until now to give
it? Don't worry, I'm not going to live with her.
Masav Rav Idi Bar Avin. So Rav Idi Bar Avin now asks the following. Mesa, what happens if she dies? Ein yorshin shozeh, the ein yorshin shozeh, yorshin ksuvasa. Now, where is this case? This case is reminding us of those famous halachas that we learned at the end of Masechtas Yevamos, where it says that an isha sheholach baal lamdina sayam, and unfortunately he did not return, and one aide comes and says, I know that your husband passed away. Based on that, is she allowed to remarry? She's allowed to remarry, but if chas v'sholem, if subsequently, I don't know if it's chas v'sholem, but if subsequently her first husband comes back, tzeitze mizeh umizeh, v'ein lo loy ksuba, v'loy peirois, v'loy balois, loy mizeh, v'loy mizeh, mamzeirem zeh mizeh, etc., a whole laundry list of bad things that happens to her. And the reason is because of the Daiko Minzava. The Chacham said, yes, Mishumi Guna Hikila Barabanan, but you better hire the FBI, the CIA, the Mossad, and Interpol, and all of the other international organizations to make sure that your husband is dead. Daiko Minzava. And if Chas Shalom not, then she has all of these knosses. So now it says Mesa. Now, what happens if, in fact, her husband, Taka, did come back, and Tetsi Mizeh Umizeh, and because of all of the grief and aggravation and anxiety, she died, Mesa, and Yorshin Shozeh, and Yorshin Shozeh, Yorshin Ksuvasa, neither the Yorshim of the first one, nor the Yorshim of the second one, Yorshin her Ksuvah. And we asked back in Masechtas Yevamos, Ksuvasa Maya Vidita, didn't we just say now by the fact that her first husband came back, Ein lo ksuva loy mizeh v'loy mizeh? So what are you talking about? The yorshin should yarshin the ksuva. There's no ksuva anymore. We took it away from her. V'yomer apapa, I'll explain to you. What we mean to say is ksuvas banin dichrin, that now Shitaka died, but subsequently the husband died. And the husband, both husbands subsequently died. But anyway, let's just talk about one husband. And that husband has yisayimim from a different marriage, and a husband yisayimim from this woman. Is there ksuvas banin dichrin that they should be entitled to forget the nadin of their grandfather that was put into the ksuba of their mother, but that ksuba was taken away. But the ksuba is bana dichon. Does that remain? Can they still get the Empire State Building, or is that going to be shared and shared alike with all of the other kids? That's me, but that's what it says in the Mishnah, that there is no ksuba is bana dichon. Everything goes away. Ein yoshes hazev, ein yoshes hazev, yoshes ksuvasa. Freiti mor v'amai. Hachanami, Asra Papa, why don't we say also Lema Yetzer Ansa? Meaning, just like you said, Rava, a moment ago, that when the woman sold her ksuba, Sai La'acherim, and even to her own husband, she only sold the 100 and the 200. She didn't sell the ksuba's banan dichon. Because the only reason why she's selling it is under this terrible duress, because she has no money. Here too, the reason why she married the second husband is also under tremendous duress. Duress from whom? From the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah says, you're going to go and live now for the rest of your life in Aguna without having a husband. But I'm not allowed to. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. There's only one eight. In one age, Shmei Eid, Lamasa, you can't live like that. A normal person doesn't live like that. So the Greasy Yitzhara forced her into that second marriage. And that being the case, why should she forfeit the Ksuvas Banan Dichrin of her children? Good gift, right? Everything Mahasim Kinasu, the Kantura Banan, that's all part and parcel of the Daiko Mintzva. The Daiko Mintzva says, you lady, you want to get married? But you better be medayik. You better hire every investigative agency in the world to make sure that your husband is dead. Because if it turns out that he's alive, then there are going to be terrible financial ramifications, including that your children are going to lose the benefit of the ksuvas banan dichon. So that's all part of that package. Okay, so you want to Yosef Ravin Bar Chanina Kamid Rav Chizda V'Yosef Kamer Mishmei Drav Lusa Moicheles Ksuvas Lebala Ein Lo Mezaynis. So now we leave for a moment Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, and now we're talking about Mezaynis. Now what's the Indian of Mezaynis? Whilst the husband and wife are living together, she says to her husband, I love you so much, I'm Moichel Ksuva, you don't have to pay me 100 or 200. Okay, what happens? Eventually he passes away, and now, if she wants to get the 100 to 200, she's not entitled. She was moichelit. She doesn't get the 100 to 200. Fine, that's a double pashut. But the question is, but she has no money. And she has no money, she wants to eat. Can she go and get mezaynis? Because after all, that's another clause in the ksuva. Just like there's the clause of the ksuva's banan dichrin, and the ksuva's banan nukvan, there's also the clause of at tehiyasva bebeisi, or mitzinam in the chos, I call you megal munusacha. So even though I'm not going to get the 100, 200, but I should get my mezaynis at least. Zekter blazer, ain't la mezaynis.
Yeah. She says something. Why rabbis have to do things contrary to what she says?
Yeah, the question is, if you remember, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, what happens if you don't write in the ksuba these magic words? She gets them anyway, because it's a Tanai Bezdin. So maybe she's only moichel on the 100 or 200 part, but that Tanai Bezdin part of getting the mezaynis, maybe that still stays in effect. Or maybe I say that once she's moichel ksuba, she's moichel the entire ksuba, from top to bottom, including the mezaynis. The question is, how broad is her mechila? Omalesi answered him. Ilav de ka'amrisling mishmei de gava rabba. So remember, who said this halacha? He said, Ravin Bar Chanina said in front of Rav Chizda, in the name of Rebbe Lazar, that the Mechila helps that Ein La Mezaynis, she gets no Mezaynis. It's Omaleis, and now Rav Chizda answered back, Ilav de Kamrazli Mishmei de Gabar Rabba, had you not said this halacha in the name of Rebbe Lazar, have a minalach, I would tell you that there's a famous pasuk that addresses your issue. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. What does it say in the Mishlei? Meishiv Roa Tachas Toiva, Leitamish Roa Mi Beisoy. Anybody that repays a kindness by doing something bad, then badness, evil, will not leave his home. Meaning that if somebody does a toiva for you, you at least have to be appreciative to go and give him back a bad thing and do something, a bad deed to him, then unfortunately you're going to be condemned to have evil in your home for the rest of your life. What does it have to do with us? What we mean is the fact that she was moichel ksuva, she did him a tremendous toiva. He no longer had to worry about the financial obligation of that ksuva. She now freed up title on all of his properties. They can go and sell property to whoever he wants to. They don't have to worry about ksuva. No, it's all freed up. Okay, so she did him a tremendous toiva. Now, when the husband passes away, the yesoimim get a tremendous toiva that they don't have to pay out $100 or $200, and perhaps there was a toisefes ksuva, and whatever the ksuva said. So now to go and say to her, you know what? because you are moichel, you don't deserve anything. Get out of here. We're not going to give you any mezainis. That's what we call a meishav ruah tachas toiva. What they should tell her is, okay, thank you very much for being moichel the 200. At the very least, we're going to go and give you mezainis. So therefore, says the Gemara, had Rabbi Lozer not said ein la mezainis, I would have advised that father they should pay mezainis, because if not, they will be condemned l'ruah bebeisam, that since they are not makatoiva to what she did through her mechila, as a result, they're chas v'sholom going to have ruah bebeisam. Okay, a new story now. And this story now has to do with Nebuch, the Inyan of Kivura. Because that's also one of the Tanoim about Kivurasa Tachas Ksuvasa. Because of the Nadin that she brought into the family home, into the Ksuba, then she's entitled that her husband should go and be Koiver. So now the Gemara asks, Ashay Legabi and Arusa. Yosef Rav Nachman V'ula V'avimi Bar Rav Papi V'yosef Rav Chia Bar Ami Gabayu. So these three, Rav Nachman, Ula, Avim, Rav Papi, are sitting together like a bezdin, and Rav Chiya Bar Ami is sitting there like a Talmud listening to what's going on. Asahu Gavra, a person comes in, the Shechiva Arusasa, that his wife passed away, but it wasn't a full-fledged Nesua, it was only an Arusa. So now, he asked them, do I have the responsibility of going and being koiver her? Maybe it's not my headache, maybe her family should go and be koiver her. Now remember, this could be in the times before the takana that people had, that one should go and bury only with flimsy tachrichim, instead of fancy schmancy begodim, and probably a fancy schmancy orain, like you have by the modern, or you have like by the goyim chasishot. So the point is that it could be a very, very expensive affair. So he wanted to know, do I have that expense that I have to go and bury my arusa? It's Amri Leisa, the three Rabbanim said to him, Zilkvar, go and either be koiver her, or you have laksuvasa, or use the dmeksuva that you're not going to have to pay. Because remember, ksuva is paid at the time that the husband dies, or the husband gives a get. But if she predeceases him, she never got her ksuva. So therefore they're telling the Orus, if you want to go and bury her, gizinta hait. If not, use the funds that you otherwise would have had to pay had you passed away or given her a get. You'd have to give it a 200. Use that 200 towards the funeral expenses. Amalahu Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya said to them, L'chayr rabbis, I love your psak. However, L'chayr v'tanina, we learned in a brice in Ishtozoi. Bushtai, Ishtay Arusev is, Ishtay Arusev passes away. Loi Oinen, the husband, does not have a din of aninus. Now what means he doesn't have a din of aninus, says Rashi, to prohibit him from eating, for instance, kodshim. Because an oinen is not allowed to eat kodshim, a kal v'chaymer from Masa Shaini. Loi metamala, if he happens to be a koyin, he's not allowed to be metamala, because she's only an arusa, not a nesua. V'cheinhi, the same thing is in reverse. If Chas Hashem he passes away, loy oinenes, she doesn't have a din that she has to refrain from eating kodshim, like shlomim. V'loy metama loy, and she not metama to him. Rashi immediately points out that this is not that precise, because the iser tumma is only by a koyin, not by a kohenes, not by an eshes koyin. How do I know? Emel kehana b'nei Yaharan, Rashi says in Chumash, Emel kehana b'nei Yaharan, Ula kehana b'nei Yaharan, b'nei Yaharan v'li b'noi Saharan, that the din of Tumma doesn't apply to the women folk of the Kohenesis. Anyway, so when it says v'li metama loy, says Rashi, it means that she doesn't have to bother being metama, because he's not considered to be a real Karev, because it's only Oris Varusa, and it's not a Nosui and Nesua. But that's really not negir to us. What's negir to us is the next couple of lachas. Meisa, if she passes away, Eino Yorisha, he does not Yarshin any of her Nechasim, because this whole relationship was only an Oris Arus relationship. So for instance, if in the Ksuba there was the Empire State Building from the father, they put an Anadin in the Ksuba, but since they never consummated the marriage, it was only an Arusin, Arusin marriage, he does not Yarshin anything in her Ksuba. It all goes to her father's, to her side, to her father, to her family, to her brothers, whatever. Meis hu, what happens if he died? Then go to Ksuvas, and then she does get the Ksuva of the Mea Masayim that it says in the Ksuva. Aha. Zoishteto in the Braisa. So now, Rav Chiya Bar Ami is Medayik, Tamad Meis hu, it's Masha only because he died. and therefore gaivik suvasa her meisahi. If she would die, then ain laksuva. Then she doesn't get any ksuva. If she doesn't get any ksuva, she doesn't get the entitlement of kvura either. What you said a moment ago, rabbis, to this person that came in, that unfortunately his arusa passed away. So they said, you know what? Don't, if you don't want to bury her, then give her the equivalent of her ksuba. She's dead, of course. What means the equivalent of her ksuba? Go and give the burial expenses that you otherwise would have had to go and pay. He says, no. We're being medayik from this price that only mace who? If he died, then she collects her ksuba. But if she died, then the ksuba obligation never materialized. It never became active because the whole ksuba is only intended if he passes away or he gives her a get. But if she passed away, then okay, so there's no ksuba. So he had no duty to go and bury her. My timer, what's the reason why, in fact, I say that this ksuva obligation never materialized? Because Omer of Oishia, she'ena nikoireba li'kishtinasi li'acher, titli mashikos of lichi. Because what does it say in the ksuba? Among other things, it says that when you finally marry somebody else, if you decide to marry, then you get titli, you get what it says here in this ksuba. But since she never decided to marry anybody else, because she predeceased him, she passed away, so therefore she's never going to get mashikos of lichi. So therefore, this ksuba obligation never materialized, never came into fruition, and therefore there is no responsibility neither to pay ksuba nor to go and bury the wife. Anyway, that was therefore the machloikis between the three and between Rabbi Chiya Barami. The Gemara doesn't resolve it. In other words, he just challenged them on their psakalach. Nu shtikl ki also Ravin. This shtikl is related to the previous.
The ksuba was written by the time of
Edison. Correct.
We
spoke about in the past that during Eirusin, it's a machloikis throughout Masechta Subas whether they had B'shas Eirusin or not. We had a mission earlier that said that they agreed B'shas Eirusin to have a ksuba, but they didn't write out the ksuba until shortly before the Nisuin, similar to what we do today, that they write out the ksuba shortly in the Kabbalah's Panim room. Of course, with us, the Eidus and the Sun goes together. But even then, they used to go and write the Ksuba shortly before the time of the Nisuin. Therefore, if you remember, we had a Shaila, whether or not, if afterwards he sold in the Chosim, can she go and collect from the original time, from the Eidusin time, or now that she has a physical document, she can only collect from the time of the writing of the Ksuba. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, the Gemara now tells us a similar story, without a story, but the halacha. Ki asa rav in omer eish lakish, arusa shemesa ein lo ksuba. Arusa that passed away, she doesn't get her ksuba, meaning, we don't mean she doesn't get a ksuba. Of course she doesn't get a ksuba, she died. What we mean to say is that the husband does not have to be koiver her. So this is the chiddush that Ravin is saying in the name of Reish Lakish. Ravin, remember, Reish Lakish and Yochanan were in Eretz Yisrael. So Ravin is now coming from Eretz Yisrael. He's coming to Chutz Laaretz, to Bavel, and he's telling everybody, we have a psak halacha from Eretz Yisrael that Arusa Shemeis ain laksu. It's Amulu Abayis. Abayis said back, Zilu Amrele, go and tell Ravin, Shekila Tibuseich Shadya Achizri. Go and take your toiva, meaning your nice shtickle toiva that you brought with you, and you thought you were enriching us with this new chiddush. Shadi chizri, you can go and dispense with it and put it on the thorn bushes. What did he mean to say? In other words, what you think is a dvar chiddush that, you know, Columbus discovered America. We knew this halacha already before. Kvar tirgum Rav Oishia lishmati b'bavav. We just had Rav Oishia that explained this shtickle toiva that we had back on the Omer Aleph. He already explained this halacha. In other words, he already explained Reb Chiya's din, that's the reason why Reb Chiya said that she should not be entitled to get the ksuba, because of the fact that the ksuba itself says it only becomes a working, effective document when you're ready to get married, titli mashikas of lichi, get your ksuba. This never happened. Therefore, you were never entitled to ksuba, and you're not entitled to kvura. So all Abai is saying is, I know this halacha from before, you haven't brought any new chidushim to the table, this is an altis chayim. Okay, getting back to our Mishnah now. Our Mishnah spoke about Benon Nukvan, the heaven lichi minoi, what is the din? They can continue getting mizoinas. Now the question is, how late in the process? Can they get mezoinis for the rest of their lives? Can they get mezoinis until they reach a certain age? We have now what seems to be a machloikas Rav and Lehi. Zokimar Rav Tani, Rav learned that what you're supposed to write in the ksuv is banan nukvan, do you have a lichem inoy? You can get mezoinis ad the tilokhun legovern, until you get married. And therefore, if it takes 50 years to get married, you have 50 years of mezoinis. For Levi Tani, no, ad to tivagrin, until you become a boigeris. Once you reach 12 and a half, you're on your own, and you have to go and collect funds, or make money, or work, or do whatever you got to support yourself. Now, sounds like from this machlekes, l'rav afagav debagar, Rav seems to be saying that even if she becomes a boigeris, as long as she's not married yet, she's still entitled to mezoinis. So even if she's 50 years old, she's entitled to mezoinis, afagav debagar, even though she's past her 12 and a half year birthday many years ago. And Levi, it sounds like, afagav the insid, even though she's already married with Nisuin at the age of 10 years old, she continues getting mezoinis until 12 and a half. Is that possible? L'choyre, that's not possible. Doesn't everybody hold at a minimum that when she's already a boyeris, or she's already a nesua, that she no longer has rights to mezoinis? Says Imara, you're right. Ella, really what they're both saying is, both of them agree that bagar v'loy insiv, that she loses her mezainis. Meaning, once she reaches 12 and a half, even though she's still single, or once she's married, even though she didn't reach the tender old age of 12 and a half, nevertheless, kuliyam, everybody would agree that loipligi, that she no longer gets mezainis from the estate, because she's now on her own. Either because she's married, or because she's already 12 and a half. Kipligi barusa v'loy bagar. The machloikis is where there was no nisuin, it was just eris. Therefore, she's still in her father's home, no longer a father. She's still together with the brothers in the home. V'loy bagar, and she's still a nara. She's still only 8, 10, not even nara. She might only be a ktana, or she's a nara, she's 12, but she's not 12 and a half. That's where the machloikis is. So what's the machloikis there? So the Gemara really doesn't fear us, says Rashi, that in such a case, when she's an arusa, v'loy bagar, Rav says, ad titlokhan kicho di erisin, v'afil loy bagar. Abaya says, Rav says, as soon as she becomes an arusa, even though she's not in the sua, the money stops, the mezoinah stops. Well, Levi says, no, that oy tevagren oy yinasu, the yetzimishus av legamri kibagris. It's either she becomes a bagaris, or she gets nisuin, but until that point, the earlier of the two, either nisuin or bagaris, but until that point, she gets mezoinah. Okay. In fact, not only when Levi was arguing with Rav, but Levi, when he was learning the following braisa, he also taught atitivagren the yamtis manayon the insivin. They can continue eating mezoinis until tivagren they become a begeris, and the yamti until they reach the age until the manayon insivin until they get married. So it sounds like zotimara tarti that. You need both requirements. In other words, she becomes both a begeris and she gets married. In other words, she could be now 50 years old. She gets married for the first time. She's already become a begeris and now she's getting married. Now the money of the mezoinis stops. In other words, the earlier of the two, either she becomes a begeris or she becomes a nesua. But arusa doesn't stop the mezoinis running. It's only a begeris stops it. And or when she gets a nisun. So this is now a machlok between Rav and Levi, whether erisin cuts off the mezoinis from the estate, or it's nisun. So Timon l'chori, this machlok is Rav and Levi's kitanoi. We have the same machlok as among tanoim, whether tanoim. And Mosei Abbas, nisoinis. How long does Abbas continue to receive mezoinis? Ad sheti oreis. Oh, until erisin. Mishum Rav Blaza, omer ad sheti bager, until she becomes a boigris. And Rashi says, boigris or nisun. Because just like Levi before equated the two, either boigris or nisuin, so this Amru also all the same thing, either boigris or nisuin. So if the machloikis Rav and Levi is the machloikis, the Tanakam of this praisa, and those that said Mishum Rebelas. Tani Rav Yosef brought a praisa, and the praisa says, Adati Hevion, that they can continue eating their mezoinis until Yehevion. Yehevion means until they get married. like it said in the pasuk, v'hoisa loy li'isha, until they're mahava themselves, they make themselves available for marriage. But the obvious question is, how do you define the word marriage? Ibayilahu havaya de'edusan hayavaya denisuan. What does yehevyun mean? It's not clear from the braisa what the pshat is. Omlei Rav Chisda Rav Yosef. Did you hear anything about this halacha, this machlokes Rav and Levi, this brisa which you just brought? What's it then by an arusa? Does she get mezoinus or not? It's omalei. Now we're going to have two lishoides in the gemara. So the first lashon is omalei mashma lishmili. I didn't hear anything. But if you ask me my personal opinion, elamisvara, if you ask me, I would say lesla. She no longer gets mezoinus as soon as she becomes an arusa. Why? Because keeping the ears, as soon as she becomes an arusa, lo'nicha lei detitzel. Word will certainly get back to the arus that unfortunately his father-in-law passed away. And now that she is an arusa, the brothers refused to give her any food. They say, you go to your husband. So I don't want that there should be a zilusa. She's going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be embarrassed. People are going to go and say that Smith doesn't go and supply his wife. They were betrothed. They had this marriage of Erison. And guess what? She's running around Nebuch like a peddler trying to get food. And the husband doesn't supply her. So you have nothing to worry about. The husband will give her to eat. And therefore the brothers do not have to worry about giving mezoinus to their sister, the arusa, because the orus will take care of her. As Omalesi answered him back, if you taka didn't hear anything, you're just giving svarais, misvara isle, I would say isla, I would say punk fakert, bitzara svara one should give her. The husband says, I'm not a husband with a capital H, I'm a husband with a small H, I'm just an orus. We've never consummated the marriage. You know what might happen? When we do consummate, I might find that chas v'shalom, she's a balas mum. And I might say, what did I get involved in with all of this? Ay, rachman al-islam, look what a peckle I have. As you know, that's one of the two reasons that a kohen does not give truma to his arusa, even though min ha-Torah and arusa, an eishes kohen, does eat betruma, but midrabanan they don't. For one reason is because of shemit tashke, she's going to share her booty together with her brothers and sisters. But the other reason, mishum simpoin, that we might find that she's a balas mum. So here too, the husband who is the arus says to himself, I haven't even done nisuin yet, and I already have these financial obligations. Maybe I'm going to find out that I don't really want to marry her. I'm not interested. I want to send her away. So therefore, he's not going to be shod. He's not just going to throw out money into the garbage until he does nisuin, that he knows for sure that he wants to stay with this wife. So you see that there was a dialogue over here. One held azoy, one held faket. The ikadiyamid is another version of the story, and the version of the story is really the same. It's just in reverse. What's in reverse? Omalei, he asked him, tell me, what did you hear about the din of Arusa, Yeshlam, Mazoinus, and that? So he said, Omalei, Mashmalei, Shmili, I didn't hear anything. Misvara Isla, but I would think that Mitzara Svara, she should get Mazoinus. Why? Kimle, Kimle, Begava, since the Isla, she gets Mazoinus from the father's estate, from the brothers. Because Kimle, Kimle, Begava, since the Oris doesn't really know his Arusa yet, he's not going to throw money out in the garbage. So therefore, he's not going to support her, not going to give Mazoinus. If he didn't hear anything, she should not give mezoinus from the father. Because kimin the irsa, since the oris already betrothed, he already married this arusa, he's not going to be happy that she should have this zilzel, that she's walking around Nebuch without mezoinus, and she's going to have to ask people for favors and loans and peddle and all the rest. Avada, the oris is going to supply, and therefore the brothers are off the hook. Okay, Simon de Gabri Sak Zoraf Meana the Yibma Shnia Arusa Vyansa. So that's of course Simonim on the next few Shilas. And I was gonna ask a whole bunch of Shilas. Shila number one. Boy mine merav sheshes mima enes yeshla mazoinus or ain la mazoinus. Now let's remember, we haven't spoken mima enes in a long time. What's mima enes? Mima enes means that unfortunately you have a girl that lost her father, never the father passed away, and she was still very, very young, and the mother or the older brother was afraid that chas v'shalom she's going to be now hefker, she doesn't have a father that supports her and supplies her. So you know what they said? Let's go and marry her off to a fine chassid. Min ha-Torah, they don't have that koyach. The Rabbanan said, yes, they have the power to go and marry her off. But since it's only the Rabbanan, the same Rabbanan said that what happens if she's not happy with this shidduch? And any time prior to becoming bas mitzvah, there's really machloikis, bas mitzvah archiyar baha shochar ala lovan, which means another few months. But at some point, she can go and be ma'anis, she can go and say, you know what? I had enough of this guy, I want out of here. And then she ma'anis and she leaves her husband. Where's she going to go? Of course, she's going to go back to her original shtib, original household. And then she has to eat. She needs mezoinus. The question is, can she now get mezoinus? Now, she could have been a full-fledged nesua, not just an arusa. The whole discussion until now is arusa yesh la'inah. She was nesua, but she was nesua midrabanon to this fellow, who she has now rejected. She goes home now. Can she go and say, I want mezoinus now? And she's not even a begeris yet. She can't be a begeris, so she'd be a begeris. She couldn't be a mamanis. So she's still a ktana and a nara. Maybe not even a nara, she's just a ktana. Question is, can she get mezoinus, yes or no? Mamanis yesh lo mezoinus, ain't lo mezoinus. It's omer of Sheshet. Rav Sheshet said, Tinisua, I can bring you a riot. Matkalin to the brisa. Almana bebe sevia, ugrusha bebe sevia, bishemeres yavim bebe sevia, yesh lo mezoinus. Now, what is this all referring to? The almana bebe sevia means that she already became an almana from her husband, and she returned bebe sevia to her father's home. Or she's nebuch a grusha, she returns to her father's home. Shemeres yavim bebe sevia, her husband passed away, she's waiting for the yavim to go and be miyabim her. While she's in the base of Via, in all of these three cases, yesh lo mezoinus, she continues to eat mezoinus, even though she had already had nisuin and she was nebuch already an almana and already nebuch a grusha. She goes home, she gets mezoinus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as long as she's still in the father's home, yesh lo mezoinus. Ain't the base of Via, if she's left the father's home, ain't lo mezoinus. Now the question is, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying differently than Tanakama? Tanakama said that all of these almana bevesavir, grusha bevesavir, shemez bevesavir, yesh lo mezoinus. Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing. Ad bevesavir, yesh lo mezoinus. Freitimar Rabbi Yehuda hain Tanakama. What's the machlokes? Elam me'enesik benai. L'choy the machlokes between them is the case of me'enes. The Tanakama sovar islo. Tanakama says she would get mezoinus. Why would she get mezoinus? Just like all of these other women left the fold, but now they've returned back with Beisavir, yesh lo mezoinus. This Ma'anis also left the fold, but now she returns and she gets mezoinus. Rabbi Yehuda Saba, lesla. Just like Rabbi Yehuda said before, as long as she's Beisavir, yesh lo mezoinus. Once she leaves, ain lo mezoinus. She left. She left because her mother married her off. She was in the sewer. At that point, certainly the mezoinus trail or train stopped, the money train stopped, because she became the sua to her new husband. The fact that afterwards she undid it and she reverts back to the Beis Aviyah, haltach Rabbi Yehuda Engla, she wouldn't get mezoinus. Nushai, leboy reish lakish, bas yevama, yesh le mezoinus, ein le mezoinus. And what means a bas yevama? We have over here a case of a girl where the father passed away. Now it couldn't be that the father passed away in the Yibam, because then there wouldn't be Yibam. Then it was Zera Yeshla. So we're talking about a husband and wife, and the husband never passed away, and now the wife remarried. Who did she remarry to? To the brother-in-law. In other words, it was Yibam. And now the Yavam and the Yavama had Baruch Hashem a daughter. Okay, now what happens? Now we're talking about future years. The Yavam has now passed away. This Bas Yavam, Bas Yavama, is still a young child, and she wants to go and get mezoinus from the brothers. Now the question is she entitled to get mezoinus or not? Now, what is the Shaila involved? Says the Gemara, Kim the Omamar, since we learned back in Masech the Zivamis, the Ksuvasa al Nechse Bala Harishoin, that when the Yavam is Miyavam, the Yavama, he doesn't have to write out a new Ksuva. He can rely on the Ksuva of the first husband, meaning that if in Chas Shalom this marriage terminates, the marriage of the Yibum, then she doesn't collect anything from the Yavam, she collects from the old brother's estate, the first husband's estate. Ksuva al Nechse Bala Harishoin, so Ibazoi Lesla. Then maybe she should not get mezoinus. Why shouldn't she get mezoinus? Because the whole mezoinus is benon nukvan, the hevelichi minoi. If you're going to have a daughter from me, from our union together, then she'll be able to go and get mezoinus. However, this daughter that was born was not minoi, was not from the first husband. So this ksuba is from the first husband, but this daughter is not from the first husband, this daughter is from the second husband. And the second husband didn't give her a ksuba. So therefore she's stuck. She's like, kerech mikan, kerech mikan.
Isn't the Yavam just come in or the yovel come in and fill the place of the
filling his shoes literally.
Oy Dilma, Himan de Ilesla may reach him to kindle Rabban and Mishaini. We learn back in Masechtas Yevamos that what happens if the first husband passed away and he Nebuch left over no estate, then what the Chum said is the Yavam can say, okay, rely on my dead brother's estate. He doesn't have an estate. Then he does have to give a ksuba. Oh, so in other words, where there is no money, then the Yavam and Mizrach Tushdom, Hitaka has to go and give a new ksuba. So even though over here there was an estate from the first husband, but as far as this Basi Vam is concerned, there is no estate because she goes to the estate and they say, sorry, you're not a daughter, you don't get anything.
It's his daughter too. This man, Reuven dies. Yeah. Shimon marries Mrs. Reuven.
Right.
Shimon and Mrs. Reuven now have a daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the Basi of Amun that we're talking about, right?
Right.
Okay, so who's the daughter? The daughter.
And now the second one, the Shimon, also died.
Okay, so
but he didn't leave a ksuba. And normally you couldn't do that. Like the Mishnah said, even if there's no ksuba, ksuba is born a nikvah still applies.
Right.
But here the Chum, the Torah says, you don't need to have a ksuba because she has a ksuba from the first husband. But the first husband doesn't entitle her to the Basi Vamah to get any food. Because it only talks about a Bas Minoi from the first husband and from the first wife. First husband is dead. He didn't produce a daughter. This is from the second husband. So the question is, do we say now that since the Yavam now fills the shoes of the Rishon, and there is no ksuba for the Basi Vamah, why? Not because there may be an estate of millions and millions of dollars, but there is no legal obligation for the first estate to go and supply to the Basi Vamah. So maybe now we take from the Yavam's estate. Says the Gemara. That's the second side of the Ibai. Kim and the Ilesla Merishon, since in a case where there would be no ksuba merishon, tekinu l'rabbanu misheni, then we give a brand new ksuba from the sheni. Here, for this daughter, there is no ksuba merishon. Why is there no ksuba merishon? Because that ksuba doesn't relate to her. It relates to the non-existent children of the first marriage that there were no kids. And therefore, is less a merishon, tekinu l'rabbanu misheni. Maybe she should be entitled to go and get now from the second husband's estate. And therefore, isla. So, you want to take a tishbi, a taras, kushla, boys. Was not poishet.